Hi everyone, I'm Peter and I will introduce Andre in a minute. What I'd like to do first is to ask everyone who's here if you could introduce yourself with a couple of sentences on who you are, where you are if you'd like, and also what you'd like to get out of today, what your interest is in today's session. So I will go through the list and ask Andrew and Sarah.
Well, we're in Lancashire, and in a village called Thornton. It's about 5 miles north of Blackpool, and two miles from the sea. We're interested in all sorts of technology. I'm learning Reaper at the moment and enjoying it, but it's always nice to look at other forms of technology to do these things as well.
Great, thank you. Okay. Sean?
Oh, yeah, I'm in Dartford, as I said earlier. I've done a lot of recording and editing in the past, but not anything for a few years now. Using a hardware device, it's a thing called a Korg D888, which was basically a mixer with a hard drive built in. Haven't used that for a while, but I was looking at really what I could use as a interface if and when I get into using something like Reaper. Yeah, that's me.
Great, thank you. David?
I'm David Ray. I'm in Maidstone, Kent, UK, just slightly right of London. And guitarist with a certain amount of Reaper acquaintance. And just always interested to learn new tech stuff.
Thank you. Leah.
Hello. Hi, I'm Leah. I'm calling from London. And I am here because I'm really interested in how Andre uses logic for his helping with practice.
And we should say Leia. I know Leia also because Leia's sighted, but you've just developed this amazing app, which I think it's worth you saying a few words about because people might be interested in that.
Yeah, I'm happy to say something. So I've already sent an email on the Vibeless, so you may have seen it. But essentially, I've been working with Kevin, Peter, and a couple of others. To develop an app that lets you control an audio file with gestures, essentially. So you can like speed it up, slow it down. You can segment it in pieces and then loop it over. So it can, like the idea is that it would help with practicing and helping when you're learning by ear if you are not sighted, but also if you're sighted actually. There's nothing that really helps you do that in that situation.
So that's definitely worth checking out if you want to get in touch with Leah outside of this meeting. Thanks, Leah.
Yeah, would love to get in touch.
Yo Kono, if I'm saying that right.
Hi.
Am I saying that right? How do you tell us again? How do you say your name?
Oh, my name's Yo Kono.
Okay, I was right then.
I live in New York. I bought Complete Control about 2 months ago. I've been using with Logic. So I'm really interested in today's, session.
Great, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Remy.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can you?
Yes.
I don't know if you missed the beginning, but we were just asking people to say if you could just say a few words about what you'd like to get out of today, what your interest is.
Yes, my name is Remy, as you mentioned, and pleased to meet everyone. I use Logic. I have some pretty basic knowledge about Logic, and I'm really keen on
advancing
that.
Recording in progress.
I'm really keen on advancing that knowledge, and today I'm aware today's session is on Logic, and I'm looking forward to learning more and. Move forward from there. Thank you,
Remy. We have someone called Projection Room. If you know who you are, who's Projection Room?
Um,
Is it me? Could be Roy.
It could be.
Hey, Roy.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? Check. If you want, I can go. It might be me because I don't think I'm signed in.
Well, it's fine as long as I just want to go through who's here. So can you introduce yourself? What's your interest today?
Name is Roy. I'm calling out of California, and I'm just dropping in. I have my own studio, whatnot, but I'm just dropping in just to listen. I seen the link up on WhatsApp.
Cool. Thank you. Let's see who else we got. There's a couple of people called iPhone. We'll leave those till the end. Steve Matsura, if you can unmute. Oh, you did.
Steve. Where's Steve?
Hello, Steve. Can you hear us?
Maybe he's asleep.
Anyone who hasn't spoken yet, because there's one iPhone here, so we don't know who that is. Anyone who hasn't introduced themselves yet, please do. Or forever hold your peace.
Excellent.
Well, in fact, there's a couple of iPhones, so there's maybe mystery people here, but if you're welcome to join in as we go along if you have questions and so on. So I'm really pleased to welcome back Andre. Some of you may have been here for an amazing presentation he did on complete control, and that started to touch on logic, but we thought it would be really useful to have a bit more on DAWs in general, and particularly logic. Andre does actually train people to use logic, so I will hand over to you, Andre.
Okay, he has no mic connected today. Hello, everyone. It's nice to be back. First and foremost, I'm going to say this at the outset, because a DAW, if you've used one before, is probably kind of unexciting. So I'm going to open questions up as soon as I finish this sentence, or at least the next few sentences, because it's going to be easier than me just talking at you for an X amount of time when you already know this stuff. So, for those of you who don't know what a DAW is, Digital Audio Workstation. In my case, Logic, and I'm going to talk about the pros and cons of DAWs in general from my perspective. So let's start with a couple of cons, because it's better to get the bad stuff out of the way first. The cons of Logic, at least from where I'm standing, is that it's one computer-centric. It's Mac-centric. There used to be a Windows version of Logic back in the 90s, but Apple discontinued it and also reduced the price. So that's a pro in a way. The other cons are that sometimes you get plugins that don't work in it, but they do work in other DAWs. For example, Juice is working on Accessibility Layer, which seems to work fine in Reaper, but not currently Logic. We don't know why, but they at least know about it. We've reported it, things like that. People that don't or aren't interested in Mac will not be able to use Logic. And although I kind of said that in point one, it's a thing that people often wonder, how can you get Logic for Windows? You can't. And so this can put people off. So few cons, perhaps. I'm sure we can all discover more as we talk. But there are quite a few pros in my mind. Once you learn to use VoiceOver on a Mac, and I come at this from a blind person's perspective, then you can learn to use pretty much any other app, because there are no other screen reader-based shortcut keys that you might need to know, mostly. You get a wealth of sounds for the price. So I bought Logic in 2016, and I paid £199 for it. Now, since it's not a subscription-based model, that means that over the last 4 or 5 years, roughly, I've paid about £35 per year for Logic. If I was using another DAW, we won't name it necessarily just now, but most of you know who I'm talking about, you pay a yearly subscription just to use it. You also pay a yearly subscription not to be able to update your Mac for security reasons, because a lot of the times these things don't get updated in a timely manner and you get left behind. Very dangerous. Especially with every machine needing to be net connected these days. Not a fan. Let's talk about Reaper. Pros of Reaper. It's cross-platform. It's accessible on Mac and Windows. It's cheap. A con of Reaper, it doesn't come with any sounds. So bang for buck, Logic is a very good bargain. Bang for buck, Reaper's also a very good bargain, but there's two different sides of the divide. Side number one in Reaper's case is that £60 or $60, whatever the price may be, you get a very fast and snappy experience, and it's extremely good. but you have to install some third-party parts to make it work. And although people might say, well, that's fine, it's free, my argument against that, and it's not that I'm against Reaper, by the way, because I'm not, is that if you walk into another professional studio in the world and you try to use Reaper, you cannot do so without installing those things on people's systems. The pro, as I say, though, being it cross-platform, is that someone on Windows could make a piece of music, maybe using Complete Control and Reaper, because, as I say, it doesn't come with any instruments by itself, send that project to me, and more likely than not, I could load that same project up on the Mac, finish it up, send it back, and they could reload it, and it would work. Pro Tools, inaccessible on Windows, but accessible on Mac, so we won't even use that one. Cubase, inaccessible on both sides. So Reaper, for accessibility, if you want to use something on both platforms, is your best bet. Now, Logic. For the $199 and pounds you pay for it, you get over 50 gigs of sounds that ship with it. You get a wealth of plugins, and there are a lot of free and good third-party offerings. So, a DAW, digital audio workstation, you can record MIDI and audio into it, and you can combine them, and you can do all sorts of fun and wicked and wonderful things with them. You can make whole pieces of music. You can make music for film and TV and radio. You can produce number one chart toppers if you're good enough. And in some cases, you can even edit video and audio. A DAW, in a nutshell, if you're musically inclined, is like an easel. If you can sit at it and conceive it, you can make it happen. If you have the right plugins or the right paintbrushes and the right paints to go with it, the instruments, you can make it happen. And that's what a DAW now allows us to do. And I'll tell you a thing that used to really kind of blow my mind about DAWs, because before Logic, I was using a MIDI-only sequencer. So I was only using hardware sounds for all of my work. I used to hear things on TV, and I used to say to myself, how on earth would I possibly be able to make that with what I've got in front of me? Back when I had hardware sounds and I was unable to import new sounds into the gear that I had, because I didn't know how. Not because it was impossible, but because it was non-speaking and difficult to use. Today in 2021, I say to myself, if I hear something that's really grandiose and epic sounding, which plugins do I need or do I have that I can make that? So the landscape for blind people in the music industry has changed drastically over the last 10, 15 years. I mean, if we go back as far as sort of Cakewalk Sonar and those sort of things, then, you know, people have been doing this sort of thing for many years, and even Pro Tools on the Mac, having their own studios, doing a lot of professional work. But it's only really become affordable in such a way in recent years, and a lot more bedroom producers have been born as a result of that. So when I think of DAW these days, you don't have to go to a studio to make music. I remember being 11, 12, 13 and knowing people with studios, and it was always a massive excitement to go to a studio and you'd get to play with something like Cubasis on an Atari or something along those lines. But then any ideas that I had to record on a crappy tape using a keyboard, and I couldn't multitrack, so I was at home. Nowadays, if I have an idea, I can sit in front of Logic and I can make something independently, without help, without difficulty, in my living room, because my bedroom studio migrated, it grew up a bit, it moved to the living room. And that's a phenomenal change. We are living in a time of phenomenal change. And for that, I'm grateful. And I think most of you probably are as well. So whatever DAW you're using, whatever software that allows you to get the job done that you want to do, use it. This has been your pep talk. I know I didn't really cover much about anything necessarily, but we're going to do that as the talk goes on. But I do wonder if anyone has questions at this point while I drink something like juice. And I mean the juice as opposed to the plug-in juice. There's loads of you out there.
I was just going to ask a question, but there's someone in the waiting room, so I will defer for now and ask it later on while I let that person in.
Okay. So, well, I'll ask my own question then. What does Logic allow me to do maybe that something else doesn't? Well, that is quite subjective in a way, because just because I can't do it in another DAW doesn't mean someone else can't. But for me, very personally, and this is definitely just a me thing, it allows me to be more productive than I've ever been before. because when I combine Logic Sounds with Complete Control, which in itself opens up a whole vast, huge, massive, ginormous, and there aren't enough words to express how big the library is when you add something like Complete into the mix. Collection of sounds. I could do anything. The world literally is my oyster at this point. And I've produced some of my best work in the last 5 years, and some average stuff, but then you have to have average stuff to offset the really good stuff. So yeah, and like I said before about the whole listening to something on TV and going, oh wow, I can do that. I can actually do that. So yeah, that's just one thought I had. Peter, you did have something,
I think. Yeah, so I use Pro Tools. I'm not advocating for Pro Tools at all. So I'm one of those people who's stuck paying for Pro Tools, but I had to learn it for a job, and that's why I've stuck with it. My question is, I've been thinking recently that I'd like to try Logic. One of the reasons was the sounds that come with it that you've talked about, and I'm wondering whether it's worth getting Logic and learning Logic just for the sake of those sounds, or would I be better off getting Complete Control and using that in Pro Tools? I don't know if that's a sensible
choice. That is a fantastically good question. Let me give you the pros and cons of both if I can. So Complete Control requires you to purchase a new keyboard because you're blind, and therefore you need the tactile controls that if you were sighted, you wouldn't. Even if you get Complete Start, which is free and gives you 6 gig of sound, you're still going to need to buy maybe an M32 keyboard, which might set you back £95 on Amazon. Less than Logic, actually, so perhaps it's not such a bad thing. But you'll only, well, I say you'll only, there are lots and lots of free libraries out there that you could use with your setup. For example, all the Spitfire Labs content, so that's free. That's another 12 gig, 13 gig of content, and they come out with new sounds every month. So you could do it that way and use it in Pro Tools just fine. But there's one thing that would stop me personally using Pro Tools, and that is because I gig with Logic on stage, and the integration with Logic and the Complete Control keyboard turns the keyboard into a control surface. So that means I can use the dial on the keyboard to change tracks, or I can use it to stop and start playback. So if I had something that I needed to play along to, I can do that all without touching the laptop. Those keys do not function in Pro Tools, from my understanding. You might have to ask Slough about that for certain. Or maybe even Mr. Matsura, who's micless. But stuff like that, that's not good. I couldn't live like that, because I need as much hands-off experience on the computer as possible. I also don't want to be in the Logic window when I'm on stage, so I always load Logic, minimize it, go to Finder, so that if I hit the keyboard or, you know, someone accidentally puts something on it, why you would, I don't know, but it's not going to, like, delete a track or solo a track or hit space. There are fewer controls on the keyboard, as in the musical keyboard, so those kind of transport controls and track controls really help. And that's a very me thing. Let's go the other way then, a pro of buying Logic. If you only get Logic for sound, you will find that you can use all of those sounds in Logic, and you could compose in Logic, and then you could stem out your tracks as WAV files or AV files, bring them into Pro Tools, and then edit the way that you're used to. So there's that. And that's the quickest and best, I think, maybe something for you to get your head around both systems at once, because you're already quite proficient with Pro Tools. So by just using Logic for the sound and not the audio editing, you'll probably have the best of both worlds, because you're probably quite proficient at Pro Tools and very speedy. And the Logic audio editing portion can be quite sluggish. Not sluggish as in it's slow to respond, but it's maybe difficult to manipulate if you can't see. It's doable, and I've edited whole things in Logic, and I know people that do all the time. But oftentimes I find myself just going back to good old SoundForge in Windows. And this is because, and I didn't know this for a long time. When I got Logic in 2016, I thought, I have to try and do everything in one place. But this is a misconception. The misconception is that if you have something, you have to do everything with that one something. Really, you should do whatever you need to do with whatever you need to do it with. You can't put nails in with a screwdriver, but you can with a hammer. You can't screw screws in with a hammer, but you can with a screwdriver. And it's that kind of thing. So if you have the £200 or the £96 that you want to drop on either Complete Control in a keyboard or Logic, then do either or both of those things. Honestly, I would say both, because I'm kind of biased against Complete Control, or in favor of. But, you know, that's quite a lot to tell someone. Just, oh, go drop £300 like it's nothing. But yeah, that's my long-winded answer there.
Thank you for that. Just a, a supplementary then, what about the range of sounds? Are there things in Logic that you just you would never get in Complete Control? I'm interested in Sampler, for example. Is there a sampler in Complete Control? Is there a sampler in Logic? Which would be easier to use for that?
I have to get the door, because guess what? My wife has gone to get the kids. I apologise for having this awkward silence.
No problem.
Please forgive me. I'll tell you what I'll play a piece of music while I try to... Right, here's a piece made just in Logic with Logic sounds. I'll be back in about 3 seconds. Typical behaviour that the door goes when I'm giving a presentation. Sod's law. Sod's bloody law. Well, apart from anything, please wait. Your call is important to us. That was a piece made all with Logic sounds. So no complete. All the side chaining and pumping compression, everything, it was all done in Logic. And I did that just to show that Logic is a very capable sound engine. And it's got some really great stuff in it. So one thing you might find, actually, is that editing sound in Logic is easier than Complete Control. And that is because if the controls for the sound or plugin that you want to use are not mapped to the knobs, you can't get to them any other way. Because a lot of these plugins are inaccessible. So you have a problem which bugs me greatly, is that people don't want to map everything to every parameter, to every control on the keyboard. But in Logic, if you can load it, you can see all the parameters and you can do some really, really great sound design. And it would be my suggestion to have a guy come on and do a talk called James Berry. Because James and I gave a presentation for Byron Harden a few months back, sometime last year, I think, maybe even the year before now. I lose track, thanks COVID. And he makes the most amazing and awesome sound in Logic Synths alone, because he's a sound designer first and foremost. But I come at this from the producing and composing angle, so I don't often have time to sit down and make sounds. I just need to find a preset that works for a client so I can produce something for them. So we come at it from completely different angles, and he would have a totally different take on this whole thing. But he is exceptionally good at what he does. So that's the thing. And if someone is going to be learning about synthesis and sound, you probably could do no better than Logic, because you can interact with all the parameters and do all sorts of crazy things. And some of these have like 1,000 different things, so... You can get lost in a lot of that, yeah.
I don't want to hog the questions. Does anyone else have a question? Oh, there's the door again.
I hate my life. I'll take a question. The person can wait, I think. I can't even deal with this.
Well, if no one else has a question, Ander, you and I were chatting over email because you were giving that app that I'm making a try, and you said that your current way of doing it is faster. So I'd love to know a little bit more about what that way is, if you could explain that a little more with Logic.
Okay, so like using Logic to control music and write things. Well, I just throw things on a track and then just slow them down using something called Flex Time, for example. Do you know what? I give up. I'll be back. There are some stupid people in the world. The guy that gave me the parcel must be blind, because he gave it to the wrong person in the wrong house. Right. Now, where the hell were we? I'm so lost now. This is the first time, by the way, in all the years giving a presentation or writing, doing a video for YouTube, that the bell has gone not only once, but twice. I've been lucky for 6 years, and today my streak is broken. I hate this. Ugh. So.
You're fine.
Yeah. It's okay.
What were we talking about?
I was asking how you use logic for practice. So like when you're learning new things.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, this leads me on to a really interesting topic, because logic has something called flex time, which Reaper has stretch markers. But I don't think, and someone please feel free to correct me, and I only say Reaper because I don't think Pro Tools does at all. You can throw a track into logic and you can do this thing called tempo detection. And you can basically, it can set its own grid based on the file. And more often than not, it works extremely well, like really well. So a lot of people that weren't using logic before got it for one reason and one reason only, and that is the flex time. I think it came in 10.4 or 10.2. I can't remember. We're on 10.6.1 at the minute. So it was a couple of years ago, and this was like a massively new feature. It was really great. So you give logic a file, it automatically analyzes it based on your project templates or how you got your import settings, and it will set your metronome. It will even try and do time signature detection. So oftentimes I'll just throw a file into logic and I just let it do its thing. And then I have a tempo map and everything. So I can then use logic to go to a specific bar, and like someone says, I want you to, you know, play from this bar or that bar. And I know exactly where it is without having to count it. So imagine you've got a long piece. It's like, I don't know, 4, 5, 8 minutes long. Someone says, right, from bar 108. So as long as logic's done its detection and I've put the file in, I can go to straight to 108 and just do what I need to do with it or learn that part, whatever. It's massively cool. So what I know that people have done, and I've spoken to people that do this, is they will get logic and export the wait file of the thing that they've imported with the tempo markers in place, because most DAWs can read the tempo markers, and then they can load it into Reaper Pro Tools, what have you. Incredible feature, that. So that's kind of how I use it for practice. I mean, I could slow down the piece, or I could speed it up the piece, or loop a section of it. And I think just for me, that tactile hands-on workflow from a computer keyboard makes my life easier than a touch screen. And that's absolutely nothing against the app, by the way.
Yeah, no worries. I was really just very curious because I can imagine myself how that worked. I've used logic in the past, but very limitedly. So using it for practice didn't really come to my mind at all. So does that mean that you are using it with a computer? Where does the computer go at that time?
Well, because logic is a purely Mac-only thing, unlike GarageBand, which could be used on your phone or your iPad or whatever. Mm. Yeah, and because I gig on stage with Logic, I have a Mac to the side of me on a speaker.
Okay.
Yeah, because all my sounds are now software. I sold most of my hardware, so when I gig, I have to have a computer with me, and it has to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it seems like you're extremely adept at using your computer and Logic.
One tries, you know.
Yeah, certainly. I find like a tool like Logic extremely confusing when you first take a look at it.
There's no doubt about it. It's a very complicated thing. And the first time I looked at it, I actually thought it didn't do anything, because not only was I new to the Mac, I was new to VoiceOver pretty much as well. So when I was looking at the main window, there are three sort of main groups with VoiceOver anyway, that you have to interact with. And all those things are hidden within interactions. And I think this leads nicely onto another sort of segue about why people think Logic is so bad. And a lot of people think Logic's bad because A, they come from Windows and Tab gets you everywhere, or your virtual cursor, and you don't have to interact with anything. Or B, they just don't know how to use VoiceOver yet. So people think Logic's bad because it's clunky and you can't get anywhere quickly. I dispute that about three or four different ways. Way number one, item chooser. If you know any of the letters in the word that you want to find, for example, tempo, and you use VoiceOver I, you can type T-E-M for tempo, or if you know the current tempo at all, you could type it. Because any number or letter that's in the control that you're looking to find, as long as you can narrow it down, you can just do that with VoiceOver super quickly. In fact, I would posit that that's even faster than using a screen reader cursor in Windows to get to where you need to be. The only thing that comes closest to that is a Windows shortcut, for example, Alt F for file. that's where you do have a speed on the Mac, because you have to do voiceover M and go over to file. So it's only halfway there. The other way is using a voiceover hotspot. Now, Apple are stupid in some ways, and this is one of them. Voiceover hotspots are not, as far as I'm aware, actually, there might be, but I don't think they are. I think they're global. So you have 10 hotspots. So you can use all 10 in one app, or one in one app and three in two other apps, or whatever you want to do with them. But you can't, if for example, you use VoiceOver 0 in Logic, which I do, if I then went to another app, I don't know, let's say Pages, and did VoiceOver 0, it would go back to Logic. Or I would overwrite it, and it would overtake the one that's in Logic. Now, there might be a way around it with activities, which I've only just thought about. Well, I've only thought about this years later. Anyway, as you were. So VoiceOver hotspots is another way. And I use them extensively in big projects to go between, say, the mixer portion of Logic where you add all your effects, or the track header where you change your mute and solo and your pan options or rename a track, and the tempo bar, which I said earlier, because I just like having a quick one to jump to the tempo if I need to change something in a hurry. And this is why people think Logic is clunky, because they're not making full use of the screen reader. And that's not their fault, or the screen reader's fault, or the computer's fault. It's just about lack of knowledge. So, yeah, that's another thought I had. And this is, again, why questions are good, because, you know, I could talk about a DAW all day, but most of you here have used one already. So I don't want to, like, patronize you with boring stuff. You all know what a DAW does, but questions like that allow me to think of reasons why you might want to try Logic for yourself. It's a hard question.
I had a quick follow-up question on this, and it's more about, could you do something similar to what you're doing in Logic and Reaper? It was specifically with the practice and the flex time stuff that you mentioned.
Reaper has stretch markers, which always amused me because it sort of sounds like a woman that just gave birth to a child. But yeah, you could, I think. You just have to, like, select parts of your audio and assign tempos to blocks of audio. A good person to give a Reaper presentation, Peter, if you're listening, would be Derek Lane or Gianluca from Italy, or even Kevin Reeves. And I would come to that because I'm very interested in that stuff too. These, like, power users are, like I am of Logic, these are power users of Reaper. And they could tell you more. But yeah, I think you can. I think you can.
Awesome. Indeed. Thank you.
I've actually seen people do that. And I think they have it slightly easier in Reaper. Because if Logic messes up, it's a bit harder for me to adjust the part where it's messed up. So you kind of have to hope that the algorithm just knew what it was doing. Because to get a bar to fit a bar, if it's not a bar, if that makes sense, is a little awkward. Although I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I might have just thought of a way to do it. Do you know what? Talking to people about what you do for a daily living is enlightening. Because you come up with new ideas on the fly. Who knew?
You're right.
You had a question, sir?
Yes, I've got a question. Yeah, it's really amazing to know you have given up all, I don't know if you say you throw them away or you sell them. I can't really remember the terminology you use. And I wish I would be good to that point someday to give up or give away all of my hardware, except my saxophone, though.
Oh, no, yeah, you can't get rid of that.
Yeah. So my question is, do you need third-party software to use a MIDI controller with your keyboard and Logic?
Okay, I think I don't quite understand the question here, only because if you have a MIDI controller, then you already have a third-party piece of hardware slash device in your house. Can you clarify that a bit more for me?
Yeah, well, what I mean, okay, let me tell you what I've got. I've got a MIDI controller. I've got a MIDI controller and a MIDI keyboard, and I've tried on several occasions. I mean, I only got it... during lockdown, actually. A friend gave it to me as my last birthday gift. And I've kind of found it difficult to really make it functional with my, using it along with my keyboard and Logic.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of thinking that I probably might need a third party software of some sort, which I do not know about, and I kind of think you probably might be able to help us on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think I get it. So part of it is that it depends on the MIDI controller in question. If Logic knows how to detect it, then you shouldn't need anything to do with it. Basically, most things, if you plug it in via USB, is going to be recognized. And if not, you might need to go to the manufacturer's website and pick up a driver. But the thing is about Mac is that a lot of things just work because they're class compliant. In Windows, more often than not, you need a driver more than Mac. So I'm not sure why you would, but it's worth checking out what the model of the thing is and doing a little web search to see if you need a driver for the Mac.
Okay, good.
For example, I know that the Korg Nano Control does need a driver because it's not class compliant, which is weird to me because it doesn't do anything that any other thing doesn't do, but you need a Korg driver to make it work. Baffles me, that does.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. So I wonder, I could show perhaps doing a recording in Logic. I think I did that during the last presentation. But also in that, I would screen share and then you could see how, for example, I might edit the events in Logic and I'd send my speech through as well. Peter, do you think I should do something like that? Because it might show.
I think that'd be excellent. We could do that.
Yep. Right. What I'm going to do is I'll share the screen and I'll share my speech as well and we'll go for some mad things. All right. Apparently host disabled screen sharing, so I can't do that. But while he enables things, I'll at least do the speech side of things. So let me route speech to you so you can hear it too. Press that and this, like that. Hey, not that one. There we go. Right, let me slow speech down because some of you don't have or can't understand the speech that quick. Right. Somewhere down there. Go ahead. Okay, let's see. Piano. Okay, that's... I think I broke something. Okay, now I unbroke something. Speech is there.
Track to comp, track one piano.
Now you can hear speech. And now I can hear you. Great.
One bar.
So let me record a boring passage for you. And then we will talk about, for example, editing. I think Reaper possibly has this a bit more sewn up than Logic because Reaper allows you to go through chords and things. And Logic is a bit weird and clunky, but
one bar, still one beat, doable. One take.
So we'll just record at 120. It's unexciting. Let's see. We got a thing there. It's very unexciting, but it is what it is. So imagine I screwed up a note in here, or I want to change a note in here. So all I do, I muted speech because I'm so used to working it quietly, but I don't need to do that today.
Speech unmute.
Are you all still hearing me okay? And is it all still working? I think it is. Should be. Okay. Yeah, it is. I will
sharing
go.
Sharing should be enabled if you need to, Andre. I think.
Finder. It's Zoom us.
I'll do it for Leia's sake, and anyone else who's got some sight might want to see the Logic screen as well. So.
Host is okay.
Thank
default.
You.
Okay.
Oh, host, it's still not apparently.
Meeting.
Rude.
It says it is here.
Start share. Host disabled participant screen sharing window. Okay. Default.
Host disabled participant screen share.
No, I didn't.
Meeting.
I'll see if it.
Don't you love live presentations, people? Mm. Oh yeah.
Logic.
Well,
track one piano.
Let me play this back now. So you heard a metronome of 120 beats per minute. I'm going to turn the metronome off with the K key, by the way, which is the click key.
Logic Pro, now, metronome click, on.
Even though it says on, it's off.
One bar, one beat,
don't
one tick.
Don't listen to it. It's broken. So we have this piano doodle thing. So I'm going to go into the event list here with command and 7, and we are presented immediately with a table.
Untitled, piano, untitled, event list, window, table.
So here is a table. And if I press the right cursor, then it's going through the notes. And here's where, by the way, you probably want to mute speech, because if you can hear the notes that you're editing, you don't need speech talking over the top of you. It can get quite irritating. So I've got a shortcut key for voiceover to mute speech, which is option apostrophe. I'm going to use it now.
Speech muted.
So I can now just hold the right cursor down. So I can, at this point, there's a really quick way, for example, I can transpose, I can even move the note from the keyboard, but there are some bog standard things that you cannot do from the keyboard directly without using VoiceOver, and that's irritating. Velocity, for example, I can't change the velocity of this without interacting with the slider, but I can change the transposition of the note by doing option up arrow. So I put this on a C now. So if I go to the beginning of the piece, that C here was previously an A, so we put it back to a C. let's just put it on something really ridiculous, like something that will clash. So like an F sharp up here. So there you go, clashy. Put it back to a C. And if I do shift and option, it goes in octaves, which is nice. So you can do things like that super quickly, but they just omit like an obvious thing like velocity, which is irritating, or the note length. So there are some MIDI editors that are better than others, and Logic's one is sort of sub-average. It's usable, but it's average. I think Reaper has all this sewn up with Asara, though, and this is what I mean about having a third-party solution to help you. As far as I know, and I could be wrong, I don't know that there are many keyboard shortcuts in Reaper's MIDI editor to allow you to do this without Asara's help. So really, I should have dragged one of my Reaper friends along to tell me more about this sort of thing. But
you want to try sharing one more time, Andre?
All right, I will do that.
Zoomus. Desktop 11. Share. You have started screen share. Zoom share tool. Hi, Logic. Zoomus has new system dialog.
It lives. There we go. So hopefully people that can see, if that makes sense. And occasionally we get this Zoom system window floating thing, which means I just have to command tab away from it and back.
Column item select.
Yes, now we're in the event view for Logic, and it works. But if I want to adjust the velocity of this A,
three bars, four,
which I will now do, I will show you how it's done. I have to interact with the table.
In table, column 1, row 51, column 2, row 51, 3, 4, 951, scrubber group.
So it tells me lots and lots of information now, and we'll go across the list from start to finish.
Empty cell, column 1, row empty cell.
I think I went to the beginning of the thing instead of where I wanted to be, so let me just pick a note here.
8 items select. Okay. L, column 1, M, column 2, L, column 1, row 2, empty cell.
Is empty.
M, column 2, row 2, empty cell. Position, 04950, scrubber group. Column 3,
okay, so
row
that
two.
Tells me that we're actually before the first beat of the bar. Zero.
Zoom floating video window, system dialog.
Yeah, this Zoom thing likes to pop up in your face now.
Find Logic Pro. Button. Logic Pro, and status, note cell, position, 04950, scrubber group.
All right, column so three, this two. Note, actually, I played before the recording was actually done, or was actually during counting. So I can tell it to move itself to one. I've got some keyboard shortcuts bound to move note by divisions. So if I press control one.
Eight items selected. Position 04950 scrubber group.
And there's another one that's also before. So this E, I'm going to press control one again. So everything should eventually end up at 1111, which means one bar, one beat, one division, one tick. Anything that is before the track starts may not get heard.
111 scrubber group. 04950
like this F.
0401104.
And what's this?
Status control cell.
So this controller, I'm guessing it's aftertouch or maybe even sustain.
CH one num 64 slider.
So
six,
number 64. And by the way, I'm going across the table using voiceover and the right arrow. So because I want to know what all the things are.
Val 127 slider.
So that is a sustain pop-up. Sustain pedal message, and it's also before the track starts, which means that this piece sounds wrong when it starts because the first chord is not sustained. Again, I'll press control one.
Eight items selected. 127 slider.
Now it's
status position 111 scrubber group.
Where it should be one bar, one beat, one tick. So if I now play this whole thing from the beginning. If you remember that far back, 7 years ago, when I actually started to record this thing, that's how I played it. But there were missing notes, and the sustain was missing, and that's the reason why. It's because I accidentally played a little bit happy before the beat. Now it is correct.
One.
Just the way it should be.
Three.
So let me show you how I would just adjust the velocity of a note, for example.
1111111111311314.
Where's my A gone?
1111.
This A.
Status. Note position. C num val 62 slider.
This
7.
Velocity is quite quiet, so it's at 62. For people not really MIDI interested or MIDI understanding, velocities go from 0 to 127. So 62 is not quite halfway to loudness, and it's a little more quiet than loud. So it sounds quiet.
In slider.
So if I interact with the slider now, my computer's having a mad moment. If I do voiceover right,
780, 90, 112.
It's now at 112, which is much more closer to loud than quiet. And if I stop interacting,
out of slider,
I can play the track from the beginning. And now the A, we're listening for that note, should sound louder. Quite a bit louder than all the rest, doesn't it? Kind of sticks out a bit too much there. So if I take it down a little bit,
in slide 1982.
Let's try that.
Out of one.
It's much better, isn't it? So that is a bit about the event list. Transposing is easy. Velocity is easy. One of the hardest things to do is actually adjusting the note length of a note. And that is because it's in segments. And when you move one of them lots of other things happen at the same time, and it can be quite difficult. So one of the workarounds, if you come to Logic, or if you are already a Logic user and you don't know this, is to basically do a VO shift double click, or double space, if you will, which allows you to double click the value. And then if you know what you want it to be, just type it, because that will make your life a lot easier. For new Logic users, though, this can be problematic, and I don't like how you adjust note lengths in Logic. I never have. Never have. And I do hope that we will get some keyboard shortcuts in Logic 11 or something, new ones, because we are missing a few that would be super helpful. So, yeah, I recorded this piano thing, and
tracks.
I've come out now. We're just in the main Logic window.
Track to complete.
I've got a spare track here with nothing on it. So at this point, let's just say, you know, I could move on and record other things, and that's why DAW is so great. I don't know that there's a single person in the room that doesn't use a DAW. I could be wrong. But if there are, then a DAW is essentially a multi-track record tool. So your tapes of old from the 80s and 90s or 60s or 70s, depending on your age, where you might have a two-track tape recorder and you can record a thing at a time on a tape. This is more than that. This will allow you to record as many tracks as your CPU can handle without busting your memory to pieces. So this one track does not have to be the end of the project. I could go on to record bass and drums and other things right here, right now, without any difficulty. Does anybody have any thoughts? I feel like I'm teaching like a bunch of teenagers that already know this stuff and are bored. But no, not really. I want to wow you with something, but I'm not.
Track one piano.
Welcome.
One bow one.
The world is quiet. You guys aren't very helpful today, I must say.
It's all good stuff. We're enjoying it.
It's really difficult when people already know this stuff. If you were all like young people and didn't know about a DAW, it'd be a different story. But I feel like I'm sort of trying to sell you snake oil. Logic is what Logic does, you know? It's very good, and I like it a great deal, and I've made my career on it over the last 6 years, but it's just another DAW in the and there's a knot now. There used to be a time when all you had was Cakewalk Sonar, and that was your lot. And I'm sure that many of you probably remember that. I remember learning that when I was in college in the early 2000s. And that's all we had. There was nothing else. But now there's so much choice. If so much choice is Logic Pro Tools Reaper. And actually, I don't know if JSONR or BandLab still exists. But yeah, but it's great because, you know, competition is good.
A while back, Andre, you said that audio editing was, I mean, at one time people would say Logic is great for MIDI, not so good for audio, and you kind of implied that that was still the case. Do you do much audio stuff?
I do a lot of my audio editing, even now, in SoundForge, and all the Reaper guys say that Reaper's really good for audio editing. What I really want to do is to sit down with somebody who's a Reaperite and that could just give me a crash course. Then I could probably do the same. I have Reaper installed on the Mac. I always keep it up to date and everything. Just on a rainy chance that one day I'll sit down and, you know, need it for something. Because I don't believe in not having a tool if it's just available. And I can audio edit it in Logic, but the convenient factor of just throwing a thing into SoundForge, particularly if it's two-track. If it's multi-track, then I have to use Logic, of course. But if it's just a quick two-track thing, I'm just going to jump into SoundForge. Because it's just like selecting stuff in a Word, like a Word document. Control-Shift-Right for, you know, a portion of audio or a bit of text, if you were. Get rid of it, delete it. It's gone. Logic is set a start and end marker and maybe delete the bit in the middle and then shuffle the stuff that, you know, so there's no gap. It's just a bit long-winded. It's not that it's not doable. It's just that it's not as convenient. But yeah, you can. And the power that you have over it, of course, is great because it's non-destructive. And that's one thing that a DAW is good at, non-destructive editing. If you screw up in, say, something like SoundForge or Audacity, then you have a problem because it's gone and you can't get it back. I mean, if you save that thing and you shut the project down in Audacity, SoundForge, and you reopen it, that's still there. If you save a project in a DAW and you've added an effect that you didn't really like, you open that back up, you can undo it. You can get rid of it. It's nice. So DAWs have taught me about the power of non-destructive editing. Because before 2016, I was not using one, and I didn't know about that. I mean, I knew it existed, but I was not a party to that. So, yeah. I'm very grateful for things like that. It seems almost godlike. Like, you save something, and you come back to it. and you know you've been to sleep. Oh, I hate that effect. Why did I ever choose that? I must have been drunk. And you just get rid of it, or you change it, or you modify it. And it just leaves you with a like a power over sound, you know? It's kind of cool.
You mentioned people not using doors. I don't at the moment, but as I say, that's one thing I'm...
You're my audience. Heading.
I am. I'm probably the only one. The only one that doesn't use a door, I mean. But because as I said earlier, I used a hardware recording device and then used SoundForge, as you say, to edit the finished product, really.
Man, I love SoundForge.
It's quick, isn't it?
It's very quick. And oftentimes, for example, what I'll do, what you may find as a DAW user is that you may make a piece of music and it's got a long reverb or delay tail on the end of it. And you've got like half a minute or a minute of silence once you've bounced it. You don't know why. And it's actually because the software has detected that there's still a sound playing very, very, very low in the mix, below human hearing. So oftentimes I'll just slam that file in the SoundForge, find the offending thing and top it. Oh, well, that'd be tailing it, I suppose. And then resave it. It's so convenient. I could bring that file into Logic and do the same thing. But
well, I even used to. Oh, sorry, go on.
No.
Yeah. I even used to do the same thing with the call device because it recorded as WAV files. You could plug it into your computer. You can find all the individual WAV file tracks.
Yeah.
You can then import one of those into SoundForge. Do what you like with it. Stick it back in, and as long as you haven't altered the beginning, so the timing is the same.
Yeah, timing's the same.
You can drop it back in. You can after whatever. I mean, I used to copy and paste the beginning and put it after. So you didn't have to play the same thing twice. Change the picture stuff.
Who knows?
All sorts of crazy stuff. And then pop it back.
All I have is 17 years, 16 years.
I'm confused.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Is there a SoundForge for Mac, Andre? I thought it was only for Windows.
Yeah, there is. I have been told that the keyboard shortcuts are weird and not to bother trying it.
So you're using it under Windows?
I do. I throw my projects to a Windows machine after I'm done with them. And this is actually something that people ask occasionally. Do I use Mac for everything? No, I don't. I use Windows for day-to-day stuff, email, reading books, tweeting, editing, podcast trimming, that kind of business. And I use the Mac all for music stuff. But they cross lines. They cross divides occasionally. Because that's the same thing I was saying about earlier. You can have as many tools in your toolbox as you need to do the job. And that's great. And it's really needed because I just find that I could do everything in one place, but I don't want to. I'm going to do whatever's fastest and more fun. And if it's not fun, then I'm not going to do it. You know.
I have one more question. Sampling.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You did ask that. And everything has all been a bit in my head. The doorbell.
Yeah, I heard a demo you did a while back. Where you sampled a piano, and I think that was in Logic.
I did. That so was Logic actually really a lot of fun. I'll explain that. So the demo that you heard, and the file went missing for that for some reason. It made me very annoyed. I recorded a set of chords at the beginning of each bar, and then in Logic, there is a very, very, very simple way to get those samples to be keyboard accessible. So all I do is I do Control-E. In fact, let's demo it here, but
Tractical,
not using real piano. I mean, I could. But I'll use this one in front of me. So I will record just a couple of chords on the beginning of each bar, and I will show you this dialogue, which is actually very cool. Right. Four chords, four bars, across four bars. I'm going to check the quantizers bang on this time because I don't want any zeros.
Table, in loop, Q-square, smart quantize.
Let's change that smart quantize to classic quantize. And make sure it's 16ths.
1/16. One tracks.
Right.
Track to come, track one.
Now I have this piano. And the first thing I have to do, because it's a MIDI track and you can't turn a MIDI track into a bounced sampler track, is convert this track from MIDI to audio. So in the case of this, I bounce this track in place. And I'll talk about why bouncing in place is cool in a minute. So I will do Command Control B at this point.
In dialogue, piano, underscore bip, content selected, edit text, bounce track in place.
Name. Yes, I want to bounce the track in place. And the bip at the end is bounce in place. So whenever you get a project from somebody and you see a WAV file that has bip on the end, you know it's probably come out of Logic.
Destination, new track, selected.
Yeah, so I press enter. It's doing its thing.
Watch tracks, group.
Okay, it's
track
done.
Track one piano.
So the original is still here, but it's no longer playing. It's muted.
Track to piano bip.
And here's the piano that's been bounced in place or bipped.
One bar.
So now I have an audio track of what I just recorded, and if I do Control E, I can now convert this into a sampler track with four regions on the track, one for each of the chords that I played, and it will put them in chromatic order.
In dialogue, transient markers, selected, radio button, 2 of 2, convert regions to new sampler track. Create zones from instrument.
So at this point, I get a couple of options. I could do it from a region, which, because there's only one region on the track, and I'll explain regions in a minute, means that it would just have one note for all of the chords with the gaps that are left in between. That's not really useful. This transient markers, though, is going to go and look for silence, and at the end of the silence, it's going to say, right, so this is the beginning of a new transient, and so that means that all of my piano chords will end up on separate keys of the keyboard. So I'm going to do this one.
Instrument. Sampler, select drum machine designer, alchemy, radio button.
And I'm going to choose sampler, it's already selected.
Create one-shot zones. Unticked, checkbox.
One-shot zones would mean that the key, or the note that I play, would sustain if I enable the checkbox, as if it was a drum hit. But I don't want them to sustain, I want it to sound like a hip-hop sample or something.
Instrument name, piano underscore bip, content selected, edit text.
So this one is also called piano underscore bip, which could get confusing. So I'm going to rename this.
P-I-B.
Let's see. Sampled. So I'll press enter. Right.
Tracks. Group.
So now I have four keys from the notes that I played initially. Of course, I play them on bar one and bar two and bar three and bar four. And now I can put them in any order I choose based on that information. And yeah.
One bar, one beat, one tick.
Is my metronome. Logic. One bar. So now. 120 let's slow.
In slider. Use the tempo track for further tempo.
Okay, I will. Default. Untitled. Here's where we run into a slight, not problem, and it's easy to fix, but it stumbled me for about a year and a half because I didn't know. I can't change the tempo of this because there are WAV files that have tempo information in them, and it's not going to let me. But I'm going to bamboozle it with science and make it do it. So I need to delete all the tempo information that Logic can currently see so that I can take this beat, this track down below where it is at the moment. So I'm going to press D.
Table.
And up comes a table.
Logic Pro has new...
And if I stop interacting with this table, there's a bunch of radio buttons that are necessary for me to find. This table is kind of a multi-purpose table. It does all kinds of things. Let me show you the sorts of things it does.
Out of event control, inspector tracks, event, marker, event, selected.
So it would show MIDI events natively.
Marker, radio.
You can get it to show markers. So if you drop a marker, or if you've got an audio file, for example, you imported and it has the markers in here, it should show you the markers for the file on the track in question.
Tempo, radio button.
Tempo is what we need in this case. Table. The next one after that, oh, it moved the cursor.
Out of track, signature, radio.
It's time signatures. So you can look at, move, delete the time signatures, but we want tempo. So I've got that.
Mixer, five, untitled, tempo. Group.
And it thinks there are five tempo events. I need to delete all of them. I'm just going to do Command A and backspace.
59 selected. 3 items selected. Group. Tracks.
Get rid of them.
120 points.
So now I'm going to drop this tempo down, if it's going to let me, to about 90.
In slot 190 point zeros.
And it
one
did.
Bar, one beat, one tracks. Group.
So now, these four chords, I can play in any order because I'm not really playing the chords anymore. I'm playing a sample of me playing the chords. Very meta.
One bar.
So if I hit record now, I can play these like... Right, so I've got a thing. I'm going to change the swing value on it so it's a bit more swing, and I'm going to throw a hip-hop beat on it, and I'm going to call it a day.
Table, intake, Q-swing, transfer, Q-swing, smart quantize, pop-up button.
Let's change this to classic quantize again. I want exact quantization. I want it to sound really old-school and tight.
Quantize, 1/16 note.
So let's use 1/16, maybe swing C, for example. So there's a pop-up here of all the quantize values that Logic is capable of.
Track 4 complete, track 3 pianos. Track, mixer, table.
That did not
row
work.
4 of 19, Q-swing, 50%. Slider, table.
I wonder.
In transpo, Q-swing, 50%. Track, Q-swing, 1/16 note. Menu tick.
No, it worked. I think sometimes the zoom floating window gets in the way of things and it makes the window behave strangely.
1/32, 1/16 swing A, 1/16 swing D.
Let's see if that sounds
1/4 beats. Two bar,
yes.
Track,
so we
mixer,
have our...
tracks. Track four
almost
complete.
Hip-hop business now. So all I need to do now is just find a drum thing to go on top of it. So I will do that.
Browser.
And I'm going to use Complete Control to do this. I'm going to use XLN Audio's XO plugin, which is very cool. So I will go and find XO for my drums.
User. Category. All category. Sort by vendors.
So I'm telling the keyboard to sort by vendors because I want it to allow me to browse for the sounds a lot quicker. Because if I don't, I have so many products in my list that I'd be here all year So
newfangled XLN audio.
There we go.
XO.
Found it.
Filter by favorites.
Let's turn on favorites and let's find a beat.
8, 140.
Okay, we have a beat. That is, by the way, just a preview of the sound. That's not how the sound is going to be, because of course that's the wrong tempo than what I played. Okay, so we've got drums that I can now play on the keyboard. And I will now record a beat. Before I do that, actually, let me hear what this thing... Okay, good. I kind of know what I'm going to do now. So I can press record and put down a something. Great. And if I just hit Q, because I didn't change the quantize value from previous, it should actually copy that over from the previous track. And we should now have a beat that is rubbish and sits here on top of this piano thing.
Logic Pro. Logic Pro. Logic Pro. Metronome.
So there we go.
Track one piano.
That is what happened
track
with that.
Piano bit.
It's kind of crazy, but that, and if you remember, all that came from these four chords if I unmute the track and solo it. But played at 120.
Logic Pro.
Those are my four original chords. I've gone back to the MIDI track from where I originally came from. So four loud chords.
Logic Pro. Now toggle.
Remute the track.
One bar, one beat.
It came and turned itself into this. So that's a bit about sampling. I mean, that's not in-depth sampling, but it's one of the most convenient things that Logic does. And I didn't learn about it for about 3 years after getting Logic. It was a friend of mine told me that this was doable. You can take an audio file and you can split it up by regions or transient markers. So you could record yourself in the kitchen, maybe tapping your kitchen sink, leave lots of gap in between, and Logic will go forward and detect all the markers for you. And then you could turn it into like a playable drum kit with very little effort. Reaper has something called, I think, Resamplematic, which can do something similar, but I don't think it's quite that easy. And I think that's just incredible. So yeah.
Is there a sampler in Complete Control?
There is a sampler in Complete Control, but you do not record into it in the way that I've just done here. You can give it WAV files, and then they can become playable on the keyboard, but it's not as convenient and as easy to use as what I just showed you here. Mm. But it is capable of tempo detection. So, for example, it syncs to your DAW's host tempo. So if you give it a file that's, say, like 160, and you've got your tempo down at, like, 125 or something, if it's done tempo detection, it will be playable at the BPM of the host. It won't be playable at 160 because it will sync. So it's very good, and I've used it, and it's cool. But you can't record into it in the way that you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And that is because at the moment, Complete Control does not accept any kind of input. That is probably coming at some point. But those things take time. So I hope you found that somewhat interesting anyway. I always love doing that kind of thing. Mm. Opens up so many possibilities.
Can I just ask a question about audio? Peter, you were saying Logic was said at one time not to be as good for audio. And I was wondering whether either Peter or Andre could unpack that a bit. As a guitarist, I mostly record, acoustic or electric guitars through microphones. So my main interest is recording in audio and then putting a nice reverb on it.
That's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
The thing I think that Peter and I were more discussing was editing audio. If you're just recording audio, Logic is absolutely great for that. It has a very good sounding kind of audio engine. It's nice. People use it a lot. I use it. I've got a real piano to my left in the corner. It's an upright. I've got two mics by the side of it, so I often just hit record in Logic.
Mayor Meralt Sonnenschein to everyone. I've got to go, but this was great. Thanks for organizing, Peter and Andre.
Welcome. But yeah, and you just throw a nice reverb on the piano. It's great. Sounds good. And Logic is very accessible where plugins are concerned, for the most part. I know in the beginning I said that, for example, Juice stuff wasn't. But if you're not talking about Juice and you're talking about, say, Native Instruments or even Logic's own plugins, of which there are really, really great ones, you will have no problem at all. What you want to do is probably one of the easiest things that you can possibly do with little effort.
Lovely. And all the parameters are accessible in the reverbs, delays and stuff?
Yeah. All the stock ones anyway. I can't speak for all third parties because some third party plugins decide that they want to have very thrilly and frilly interfaces that suck for us. But yeah, where it's concerned, for example, one of Logic's best reverbs is called Chromoverb. And it's one of those just casual reverbs. It's beautiful. You can put it on anything and make anything sound good.
Fantastic.
I like.
Thanks.
I enjoyed making that. Silly little thing, even though it's pointless. But yeah, people, speak to me, because I need to hear your lovely voices. Although I suppose it is 10 past. But Peter, did that answer sort of your question about the...
Absolutely, yeah. That was
do you know how fun it is? Because you could just... You got like a file of random noises from a session. Just throw it in there, let transient markers do a thing, and you come back and you've got a kit, or a kit full of sound that you didn't expect. You know, maybe even 60-odd keys that Logic's just detected for you. It's really silly and quite fun.
Yeah, no, that's the kind of thing I need to do, and I used to have a way of doing it on a very old Windows system, which no longer works, so I'm looking for a way, and that's another argument for Logic, I think.
I've got another one that I've just thought of. Auto sampler. Now, I've still got a Phantom XR here, and an old Colgex 5DR module, and an old SC88. And what you can do with Logic that I don't think any other DAW does, at least built in, is automatically sample with velocity layers and round robins your favorite sounds so that you can use them in Logic. And that means that if you have to sell that hardware, you have not lost access to those sounds. Wow. I did a whole video on that on my channel, which if you're interested in kind of keeping your old hardware from going obsolete, or you think, well, eventually this thing is going to die because it's old capacitors and 90s tech is, you know, not as well built as the 80s stuff. That's a great thing. So basically, as long as Logic can plumb into that via MIDI, and as long as you can get an audio feed back into Logic, you can just basically set a sampler with your parameters. So you could sample your favorite old, you know, M1 piano or some kind of drum kit that you enjoyed. And it takes as long as it takes. It's even clever enough to go through and trim off silence from the end of a sample hit. So if, for example, you say, right, hold this note down over MIDI for 10 seconds. If the sample that you're loading or playing does not go on for 10 seconds, it's going to, when it's finished doing all the playing, it's going to go through each and every file on the fly. You don't have to do anything. And it's going to trim off the silence. So I've actually recorded some of my favorite hardware sounds from my gear into Logic, and I can still play them in Logic. I mean, goodness sake, that's so cool. So, yeah.
Yeah.
If that's not a seller, I don't know what is.
So, any more questions? From anyone?
Sorry about the doorbell.
Andre, do you want to say anything about...
is that Gary?
It is. I've just seen your message and I thought I'd just jump on because you always do.
Another fantastic Logic user here, Peter. This guy could probably just take over the whole show at this point.
Is this Gary Redphone Grey?
It is. Hi, Peter.
Nice to hear you.
I didn't know this was on. I just saw this and I thought, do you know what? I think I caught the end of a previous presentation that you'd done, and I thought, you know, this will be good, and I'll just quickly jump on and catch part of it. So
I've archived it at this end, so I'll get it to people if they're interested as well.
If you get the whole message, just post a link somewhere.
Oh, I will.
But so I've missed quite a lot of the talk, but do you want to say anything about M1 and Max and what you might need to?
It's funny because I'm using an M1 right now, and I didn't even think about it. So if you are a Complete Control user, particularly, this is really applicable to them, I think, and some third-party plugins, but I'm not sure, because I just ran Logic and Rosetta from day two of my M1 usage. I didn't even know I had to. That fixed all my issues. When I first got an M1 Mac in December of last year, for the first day I had it, I installed all the bits and pieces, and I didn't know that I had to run Logic in Rosetta mode, and so I was using Complete Control, and it was behaving like a toddler in a park that didn't want to go home. It was crashing and being ridiculous. And I couldn't work out why. And someone said, are you running Logic and Rosetta? And I said, oh, I didn't know I had to. And as soon as I did that, everything worked and has been working flawlessly ever since. So Gary brings up a good point. There are some plugins if you're using a modern day Mac. And since pretty much every Mac you're going to buy from now on is going to have an M1 processor in it, which is the Apple's newest architecture, or MX, because they might come out with M2 in a matter of weeks, you may run into this issue. So it's important that you run Logic in what's called Rosetta mode, which is emulated Intel mode. The knowledge on how to do that's online. I'm not going to go into it necessarily, but it is important to know that if you are going to pick up, say, a cheap Mac Mini just because you want to play with Logic for a bit, or if you've got some throwaway capital, you may find that things aren't working to your expectation. This is easily solved with one single checkbox. So yeah, Gary, good thought. And I'm using an M1 right now. Because I just did it, it's not even in my radar anymore.
Sure. Well, you do. It's a one-time deal. You know, you set Logic to do that, I believe. And then then whenever you run it, you don't have to do it every time. But do you know when the native stuff is going to be
out of M1 status? I know that they're working on it. I haven't even seen alphas of it yet, but I know that they're definitely working on it because, of course, they want to be. And when you run Logic in Rosetta mode, of course, you have a performance hit. And I haven't really felt it, but because I've never run Logic natively, I don't know how fast and powerful it can actually be versus what it actually is at the moment. So I can't wait to try it out, but I have to wait for complete control to be ready before I do that. So I'm actually quite curious to see how much better it is running outside of Rosetta, sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Food for thought. You've all been very patient with me. Thank you very much.
Any more questions? Sounds like there aren't. In which case, I want to thank Andre. I don't know what to say. I don't normally use the word awesome, but it was awesome. Thank you so much, Andre. That was very super interesting and really, really useful. And if we can think of a reason to have you back, we will.
Yeah, I was kind of worried, actually, that this one would go down like a sort of lead balloon, because talking about a DAW when people use them already is really hard. I just don't know what to say. It's a thing that you do every day, probably. So using a DAW is, you either do or you don't. DAW or you don't? But yeah, anyway, thanks all for coming along, and I hope you got something out of this. And if you do want to talk about Logic or try Logic or have questions about it, get hold of me however you wish, email or WhatsApp or just whatever you wish. I'll be happy to answer them. We have a whole Logic group on WhatsApp as well, Gary and I are part of, and we can answer your questions there as well.
Which is really good. You should, if you're not in that and you have an interest in Logic, you should just join it and just
ask
whatever you want, but also see what people are asking and saying, because there's so much content in there. I mean, I just can never keep up with it myself. But everything from music that people are posting to Logic questions, instrument plug-in questions, all kinds of things. So it's absolutely worth it. It's a goldmine of information, that group.
And actually, I'm going to make Gary blush here, but he was the first person I ever found's website, blindlogic.org, got me started with Logic long before there was Logic Band or XSM Tech. So I owe a lot of what I know to Gary's initial knowledge and website. So Gary, thank you very, very much.
Gary, while you're
on, welcome, but I will just say that it's really good that we have champions of Logic who've got time to really create some fantastic content. And if you're not aware of it, there's Andre's channel, The Inspired by Sound. If you're not aware of that, and that I think it's a playlist on your channel
it
now.
Is,
I'm not
yeah.
quite, just go and listen to the stuff in there, because that was what got me into Complete Control, which is a thing that Andre is particularly a champion of, as well as many other things. But it's the content is just really great on that channel, and people like Steve Martin, there are people who've done some great work in just explaining the accessibility and publicizing how accessible Logic is now, and it's fantastic. So yeah, thanks for that.
There's also the Logic Accessibility email group, I believe.
There is, yeah.
Which should be useful. Gary, I just wanted to say, while you're on, have you joined the Vibe email group? And I think you might find it useful if you haven't, because you didn't know about this beforehand. So that is how this got organised in the first place. And
I haven't, but I'd like to. So how do I join that then?
So you send an email to vibe-request@freelists.org, and you put subscribe in the subject line.
It's a good list. I like it. It's great content on there.
Right, I'm joining.
And actually, one thing I wanted to say is that Gary pointed out something I wasn't even going to mention because I forgot about it. The Inspired by Sound, everything on that channel that is to do with sound and creation has all come from Logic. I don't mean that all the sounds that I've used are Logic sounds, but I've done all the work that you hear on that channel in Logic. So some of my biggest and massivest pieces, or even the little stuff, all recorded in Logic, because I started the Inspired by Sound playlist after 2016. It was actually November of 2017. So I'd been using Logic a year by the time I started that and had the confidence enough to do it. And it's all because of the knowledge I gained from talking to people and getting into Logic as heavily as I did. Because there was a time, like after I'd seen Gary's website, and I thought to myself, this is incredible. I don't think I can manage this. But perseverance, and now like I'm a Logic champion, and quite happily so, by the way. It's an incredible DAW, and it's really powerful in ways that maybe other stuff isn't, or is in a different way. And the one thing I don't like is when people say, what is the best? Stop when you say best. Just stop. What is best for me is not what is best for you. So I want to make that clear. Logic is great for me, but it might not be your cup of tea. And I didn't mean to rhyme, but there we have it. If you find that this presentation hasn't really moved you in any way, then that's fine. But if you find that you do end up getting into Logic because of it, or because you've spoken to other people about it, and you feel overwhelmed by what it's capable of, just know that there are plenty of resources and plenty of people out there that will help you. Because I found Reaper a head meld as well, and I'm still not used to it. But I know that if I need help, there's someone I can turn to. Don't feel like you're ever alone learning a new piece of software like this, because it's very, very daunting. But don't be put off by it.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. And I think that having presentations like this moves you beyond the kind of how do I use the door, because it's always, whichever door you pick, it's always going to be a pain to learn. And you're always asking, is this accessible enough for me to use? And if I put all the time in, will it do what I want to do? And is that going to be an easy and a good fit for me? And I think when these presentations, like, for example, the sampler, and it's things like that inspire you to put the time in, because you say, oh, yeah, but then I didn't know that sampling was accessible, you know, or I didn't know that Logic has drummer built in and I can create all these beats, you know, through that plugin. So I think it's just publicizing the fact that these features are available in the door and they are accessible is just going to give people the opportunity to dip in. And, you know, it's not whether is it better than any other door. It's just, this is the door that we happen to like, and it's a good fit for us.
Yeah.
Try it, talk to the community. And likewise with all the other ones. I mean, Reaper is another thing. Great community again, and great facilities. So it's a good time to make music.
That is the best thing, isn't it? It's a great time to make music. Where we live right now, we are surrounded by just such almost easy to obtain stuff. You can do anything you want to do, pretty much any way you want to do it. If you want to make a beat in the back of a car or on a train with a keyboard, you can do that. You literally can. I know a guy that used to commute from London to Leeds every week, and he'd have ideas, and he'd always have a little Native Instruments keyboard, 32-note keyboard, and he'd have a laptop. And he'd be in Logic making beats on the train. He said he gets some of his best ideas there because that's the time you are least likely to, because you're not in the studio. It's like being in the shower. In the shower, you can't make anything until someone comes out with a waterproof keyboard, and then I'm going to snap it up. So, yeah, it's true. Oh, dear. Peter, thank you very, very much for this.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much. Respect. It's really, really good.
I'll send you a link to the recording, and I'll make an MP3 available to other people within probably an hour or so.
Brilliant.
So I'll be there.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Talk soon. God bless.